So just want a short preamble and a retrospect on today's open air work. It went very well. It was most encouraging to talk to the young man at the start who says that he's a Muslim. I did make a mistake there. I said that Jesus had died on the Day of Atonement. It's quite clear in the scripture that Jesus didn't die on the Day of Atonement. He died on the day of the Passover. So my apologies for that. But the day was encouraging. And what's encouraging is that people are coming forward to talk to us about the gospel now, which is very, very wonderful. Welcome back to another open air. This is Christmas Eve, and this is December, obviously, 24th. And we're in Hull. And being in Hull, it's very subdued, very quiet. A few people around, a number of shopping bags. I'm just thinking that this is a very subdued time of year because of the economic situation, because of the world situation, and people are very hard pressed at the moment, but I cannot help thinking this is the deliberate effort of the humanists to kill off Christmas as such. Now, my background is that I come from a church situation where Christmas is not made a big thing of, because we don't think or don't know that Jesus was born on the 25th of December, and every week we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. We celebrate that God sent his Son, and so we're living this every day, all the time we're living this knowledge that Jesus came into the world. But if we are going to celebrate Christmas, we should do so to the glory of God. And it's just after decades of empty nonsense, it seems as though people are worn out. Perhaps that's my perception of it, but this, of course, is the plan of the humanists. They don't want anything to be said about Jesus Christ. It has to be the winter interval or the winter holiday, but not Christmas. It has to be winterval, or it has to be, sorry, it has to be Xmas, but not Christmas. And if it's Christmas, it has to be commercial. It has to be selling the Lord Jesus Christ, marketing him, setting him forth, making money out of him, making merchandise out of him. And increasingly, it's just attacking him and or ignoring him completely. Whether or not we celebrate Christmas, we must always celebrate the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's unspeakable gift, the Saviour of the world. And we must always, always give Jesus that place that he has. He's not here as some kind of commercial icon. He's here as the Saviour of the world. The Lord Jesus today is seated on the throne of heaven. And so I'm glad to be here, really glad to be here to preach the gospel. I'm always glad to preach the gospel, but the whole thing just seems so subdued. It seems so quiet. I think if I'd been here this time last year, I think I probably was, that I'm at Monument Bridge in Hull. I think it would have been much busier and much more upbeat. People coming out of lockdown were shopping and spending money and looking for the bright lights and things like that. But this year it's all very, very subdued. And but the gospel is never subdued. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation for all those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And the Lord has had mercy upon sinners such as you and I. I'm preaching this mini sermon, aren't I, to the online people, but I should be preaching to those who are walking past, the people of Hull. And Father, I pray that you bless this evangelistic work today. Lord, I pray that the message would go forth with power, even though the days are subdued, even though there's just such a feeling of people with nothing, people like sheep without a shepherd, people wandering around with empty lives, not knowing why they are here, or not knowing why they live in this world, and then pursuing pleasure as a way of drowning out that knowledge, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd have mercy upon the people of Hull. I pray that Jesus Christ would be glorified here. Father, I pray that you'd lift up your Son, lift up his name, lift up his gospel in the preaching of the word. I pray, Father, that you would have mercy upon the people here and elsewhere, Lord, also in this country, in this nation, that you would have mercy, that you would save sinners from their sin, that you would deliver them from the wrath to come. Oh, Lord, as preachers, we get so used to not seeing a response, to not seeing people saved, to seeing the indifference, the hardness of heart, the mockery, the ignorance, Lord, that's all around us. Father, quicken us, Lord, quicken us with expectation to look to you and to pray, Lord, that you would come and glorify your Son. Father, how we cannot do this work without your help. And yet, Lord, even the church seems to think that preaching the gospel is a waste of time in these days. Lord, show us that this is your word, that this is your word, and that it comes with power. Show us, Father, that you own this word, that this is not at the man's appointing, but this is the appointing of Almighty God. And Father, I pray that you would pour out your spirit upon this city. Have mercy upon the vile and the corrupt, the rebellious, the blasphemer, Lord, the immoral, Lord, the impure, the violent, even the murderer, Lord. Have mercy, Lord, upon those in this city who are lost and in their sins, and grant, Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation would be revealed at this time to multitudes in this day, Lord. Lord, don't let the humanists win. Don't let them expunge Christianity from the nation, Lord. Don't let them succeed in their wickedness, Lord, and in their desire to make Christianity nothing, to say Christianity is a thing of the past, that it's over, that there's no Christians anymore. There are Christians, Lord, but our voices are being silenced. Father, I pray that you raise up your cause. I pray that the humanists would be put to an open shame, Lord. The Scottish Parliament, Lord, the professors of Cambridge, Lord, and so on, Lord, that they would be put to an open shame as they see that we serve the true and living God, and that you're the God of heaven and earth, and that you're the God of all salvation, that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. He came to Bethlehem to be the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, strengthen the preacher, fill me with your Holy Spirit, pour out your Holy Spirit upon me now, and help me to preach your word. As I come in weakness, Lord, I pray that you would add your power and your blessing to the ministry of the word of God. And this I ask and pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I also add that the Lord would have mercy on me and forgive me for my sins and cleanse me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, it's wonderful to preach this gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus came into the world. He was born at Bethlehem. He was born of a virgin. He was born in a stable. He was born in humility. And yet that man, that baby in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, is the Saviour of the world. He is the one who went to the cross of Calvary. He is the one who died on the cross of Calvary. He is the one who laid down his life on the cross of Calvary. He is the one who took up his life again. He is the one who paid the penalty for sin. He is the one who brought life and immortality to light. Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. Jesus Christ, who came into the world in Bethlehem. I'm going to read from the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. And I'm going to read this word, and I'm going to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Matthew says, although this is God speaking through Matthew, because this is the Bible, this is the Word of God. Matthew says in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Mary had known no man. And Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is like no other man. He certainly is a man. Yet he also is God. And he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, God the Son, becoming flesh and being born of a virgin in Bethlehem and being laid in a manger, because he was born in a stable, not in an inn, not in a palace. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yet it pleased God that his glory should be veiled so that we would see him, and so that he could walk among us, and so that he could teach us, and so that he could become a sacrifice for sin. If Jesus Christ was born in a stable, and if Jesus Christ was laid in a manger, then we know that God is speaking to us. We know that God has come to mankind, that he speaks to all of us, from the very least of us to, humanly speaking, the greatest of us, the king on his throne to the beggar in the dust. That Jesus Christ came into the world, and he didn't come into this world to, at that time, fully bring in the kingdom of God, but he came in to... No, I should correct that. Jesus Christ brought in the kingdom of God when he died on the cross of Calvary, because he made that propitiation for sin. And the Lord... Hello, my friend. It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you too.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Now you want to talk, do you?
Well, I'm preaching, but if you I'm very happy to if you'd like to. Yeah, yes. What would you like to ask?
Christmas. Wasn't Jesus resurrected in September?
Well, I don't know when Jesus was resurrected. What I do know is what's really important is that Jesus was resurrected.
Okay, so
the Bible doesn't even tell us when Jesus was born. I mean, people will try and estimate it based on stars and things like that and seasons and times, but we don't know when Jesus was born. And we know that the resurrection is easier because we know it was after the Day of Atonement, but the Lord Jesus Christ, to be honest, I don't know the answer to the question, but what's really, really important to me is that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and he was raised from the dead.
So, wait, so, I thought Christmas is supposed to stem from an religious origin.
Yes. So before the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a pagan festival. I think it was called Saturnalia. Okay. And when the Roman Empire adopted Christianity, they changed that into Christmas. So it became the official birth date of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But nobody actually knows when Jesus was born. Nobody actually knows the day of his birth. That was just a pagan festival that became a Christian festival. Now, that means there are two things. First of all, there are some Christians who celebrate Christmas, and they celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. Yeah. And there are other Christians who say, because we don't know when the day of Jesus, when he was born, it's not important that we celebrate it on a particular day. What's important is that he was born. We know that. But that he came into the world, and it's what he came into the world to do that really matters.
Yeah. So if God can't be born, neither can he die, then why is Jesus said to be God?
Okay, so if God can't be born and can't be died, Jesus existed for eternal ages before he became born of a virgin in Bethlehem. What was new is that...
How could he be born then?
Okay, so when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, so Mary didn't know anybody, this is a virgin birth, but the Holy Spirit conceived Jesus in Mary's womb. What happened at that time, at that conception, was that Jesus became both God and man. So, okay.
That's like me saying I'm both man and woman. That's impossible.
No. We can't say how it's possible for God to become man. But Jesus Christ
It's illogical.
Okay. So we don't know how that is. But what we know is that God can do that, and that's what God did. That Jesus came into the world. That somehow he was the eternal God, and at the same time he became a man, and he was born in Bethlehem. He'd never been a man before. He'd never been, you know, so a man can be born. In the same way when Jesus died, God didn't die on the cross, but Jesus the man died on the cross. So what we're saying here is, you see, Jesus is both God and man, and his manhood, his manness, and his godhood can't be separated. So I can see this is quite difficult. There are some things in the Bible which we can't understand, but we can believe. So we can believe that God became...
So why would a God who wants people to join his religion make things so people can't understand it, so they're confused about it?
Right, okay. So the problem here is, what we need to understand about Jesus is he died to save us from our sins, that he's both God and he's man, and he was a fitting sacrifice.
Yeah, so if a Christian does bad things, he'll still go to heaven?
Yes, a true Christian. The reason is...
If I murder you and I suddenly say, you know, I'm a Christian kind of thing, I believe in all the things that Christians say.
Yes.
I would still go to heaven.
Yes. Yes, and the reason is this. Okay, there are two things here. First of all, repentance. We must repent for our sin.
So like Jeffrey Epstein, if he was Christian, he would go to heaven.
Nobody has a license to sin, okay? So God hates sin and God will judge the sinner. Now, I am a wretched sinner. You see, we could be talking for hours about this.
You guys talk about the original sin.
Okay.
The sin between Adam and Eve.
Yes, not between Adam and Eve, towards God by Adam and Eve, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Wait, why would a sin be passed down by the ages? How is that fair?
Okay. So the first question is this. Adam, our forefather, sinned. So mankind fell into sin. So from
the original sin is the sin that is...
It's passed down from generation to generation.
And it's given to us, but
that's right.
We did nothing.
So we have a sin nature. So the answer to that in the Bible is this, that we have no right to question God on that matter. We are sinners. God holds us accountable for our sin. He says that he will judge sin, and he says that if we repent and believe on Jesus, all of our sin will be forgiven. And that means that my sin is forgiven, past, present and future. And that doesn't mean I have a license to sin. I can do what I want. I can go around killing people or whatever. But what
there's
it does mean is...
That.
Okay, the proof of my forgiveness, okay, is in what Jesus Christ did. Either being God, his work on the cross is sufficient to forgive me for all of my sin, or it doesn't work. When God steps in to save us from our sin, he does it all. He does everything necessary. Some of those who blasphemed him, some of those who cried out for him to be crucified, some of those who sent him to the cross even may have been saved because they subsequently came to know him as their saviour from sin. There are many people who have hated Jesus Christ, but they have come. God has subdued his enemies. They've come to know him as their saviour. They've found him. I was anti-Christian before I became a Christian, but God came and dealt with me, and I found the Lord Jesus Christ. The question here is, who can deal with my sin? Who can take away my sin? Who can deliver me from sin? Who has the power to save me? And with Jesus Christ, it's all of the power of God's salvation is found in Jesus. It's all of God. It's nothing of me. So all of my sin in its entirety is washed away and cleansed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when a person becomes a Christian, they're a changed person. The whole outlook changes. Everything changes. It's a supernatural work of God in the heart that God does. So nothing is the same, but Christians are still sinners. There will come a day when Christians will be made perfect, the Bible tells us, either when we die or when the Lord Jesus Christ returns.
Most Christians today are believing in LGBTQ. They say it's okay. They eat bacon, they drink intoxicants. It's not allowed.
So there are many people who call themselves Christians who are not Christians. Okay.
Let's deal with those issues.
LGBTQI is sinful. Is wrong, and you cannot be a Christian and hold to those things being Christian, because they're not. They're against God. Eating bacon is allowed because God has said in his word that we can eat things which were formerly forbidden in the Old Testament to the Jewish people, but now we can eat those things.
Written by Jesus.
So the whole Bible, which consists of 66 books, the Old Testament and New Testament, the whole Bible is the whole word of God, the whole purpose
leaders in the religion,
but not actually Jesus. Yes, we need to. No. The whole Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ.
About him, yes, but not from him.
Okay, it's good to talk to you again, and we'll see you again, God willing. And please think of these things. But it's about how can your sins be forgiven?
We have similar religions. I'm Muslim. You're Christian.
I believe in a holy Trinity.
I don't get it.
Yeah, well, then we don't have... It doesn't have to be logical, it just has to be true.
As in, we're both Abrahamic.
Yeah, but at the same time, your God isn't my God. My God isn't your God.
Exactly. I mean, if you're talking about the Father part, that part, if it's from the original Old Testament, to my knowledge, it is the same God, but Jesus, the Holy Spirit, no.
No, well, okay, Trinity, okay.
From my knowledge of the Bible, it's not said to believe in all three. It only says believe in the Father.
The Bible...
Believe in me as, like... messenger, not necessarily as a God.
No. Jesus Christ called himself the Son of God, making him equal with God.
Okay,
good to talk to you. Thank you. Yep. Lord, have mercy on that man. That's the third time he's approached us. And it was spoken to you by John and Susan. Spoken to by John and Susan for a great length of time before, Lord. And I just pray for that man, Lord. I pray that you sort out his confusion. Father, I'm sorry I didn't know the answer to the question about when the resurrection took place. That seems to be very remiss on my part, Lord. Help me to resolve that. But, Lord, I pray that you'd show him how his sin can only be dealt with by a Saviour sent from you. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict him of his sin. Yeah, Jesus Christ is Lord, my friend. Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd have mercy upon him. I pray, Lord, that he truly would gain understanding and that he would see that what the Bible says about the Holy Trinity, what the Bible says about you, Lord Jesus, is true. Well, you're here, sir, and that's enough for me.
Are you a poet?
I'm not a poet, I'm a preacher. I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right, I love Jesus, but I don't believe in God.
Okay, well, if you don't believe in God...
So there's a connection that I can't make.
Okay, so if you don't believe
in... Jesus, I believe in.
Yeah, if you don't believe in God, then you don't believe that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. And if you don't believe that Jesus is God, you can't be saved.
Jesus is the political...
Jesus is the Saviour of the world. No, the whole point about Jesus is he wasn't political. The Jewish people of his day, they wanted him... Yes.
And in them days, it was...
The love that Jesus preached. Jesus also preached on hell, do you know that?
Yeah, I know.
He preached on hell more than anyone. He preached that if you don't find him, you'll go to hell. But if you don't believe Jesus is God, you will never find him.
No, Jesus, he's supposed to be the son
listen
of God.
Listen to these words. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But then down here it tells us that his name... And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So Jesus is God with us. God says that in his word, in his Bible. Jesus is man and God.
Yeah.
And if you don't know the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus who is God and who is the Saviour, then you can't be saved.
Yeah, but he was classed as a terrorist.
Well, it doesn't matter
how
he was classed.
The Romans killed him.
Well, the Romans didn't want to kill him, but they killed him because the Jews persuaded them. Jesus Christ came...
The Jews didn't understand him.
Jesus,
but he was the ultimate Jew.
Yeshua means Saviour.
Yeah.
And Jesus is the Saviour of the world, and he's the Saviour of those who find him, those who repent of their sin.
Are you a doctor then?
I am a doctor, yes.
Doctor of what?
Medicine.
Wow.
But I prefer to preach the gospel.
Good.
So,
you got any Valium?
I knew you might ask me for that. No, I haven't actually.
Can you do with a script?
I can't do your script, sorry. Or a sick note. So.
Well, that's no fucking
Jesus
good,
is Lord.
Right.
And we must repent of our
he's
sins.
God on earth.
Yes, Jesus Christ was God who came into this world. Now today, Jesus is on the throne of heaven.
I love Jesus.
You can't love Jesus if you don't know
when
him.
When I was a kid, right?
You cannot love Jesus if you don't
bedroom.
Know him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was there.
Well, you cannot love Jesus if you don't know him. And you cannot know Jesus if you don't believe that he's God. That's not possible.
It was
he's a human being. And he was God. He is God. He is God.
Where
in him.
Did he come from,
he's still
then?
A human. Well, here we have it. Here in Matthew chapter 1 we read, and it says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, that's to Joseph, in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So God the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and she conceived the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
And the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, so he is both God and man.
Right.
And his death on the cross was to take away our sin, so that if we believe on him, but if you don't believe Jesus is God, you don't know Jesus,
right.
And if you don't
know Jesus,
you're lost.
I am a lost soul.
But Jesus will save you.
Right.
He will save you when you repent of your sin and put your trust in him.
I've repented all my sins.
Yes, but you
live with myself.
Who are you trusting to take away your sins?
I've given away my sins.
Well, who are you trusting to take away your sins?
People.
Well, people can't take away. Jesus was a person. He can take away your sins.
Yeah.
We are guilty. Our sins.
He's dead for 2,000 years.
He was raised. He was not dead. He was raised. He was raised from the dead bodily by the power of God.
It's
very strange. It's very strange because I'm a doctor and I spent 30 years working in the NHS and I watched a lot of people die. And I can tell you, not a single person was resurrected. No, not a single person.
Well, there you go, then.
Sometimes if somebody's heart stopped, we can restart it. But that's not the same as a resurrection.
Yeah.
That's not the same as somebody who's been dead for 3 days being raised from the dead.
Yeah.
That's unique. No amount of modern medicine or technology can do that.
So then he must have had I read that Jesus was given a drug that made him seem unconscious.
Right. Well.
And he wasn't dead when he was taken off the cross.
Yes. Well, I think
he was still alive.
If you. Well,
that's how they get the resurrection from.
Yes.
Because he was dead in the first place.
Yes. No. He was dead. He was dead. They put a spear in his side. Blood and water came out. Everybody believed. Everybody knew he was dead.
He drank something though.
No. You couldn't do that. And then you couldn't with all the blood loss and all of the dehydration and the scourging that he had. had and the beatings that he had and the crucifixion, the nails in his hands and in his feet and the crown of thorns and and he was laid in a grave by people who knew he was dead and somehow he woke up, he pushed that huge stone aside somehow, and then he but the, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he died, he had to die, because if Jesus didn't die then nobody could be forgiven for their sins, because he died as a sacrifice for sin.
We can all be forgiven then,
can't the Lord
we?
Jesus Christ,
can we all be forgiven?
Any of us can be forgiven.
Forgiveness
is when God says,
when you're sorry about something.
No, forgiveness is when God says, you are forgiven.
Right.
I will no longer hold your sins against you, however bad, however dark.
And then you're clean of them.
Only God's the only one that can clean us. And you know what the Bible says? It says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin.
Right.
And that means if Jesus didn't die, then there's no cleansing for sin. There's no sacrifice for sin.
I see what you
Jesus
mean.
Had to die. He had to lay down his life.
Yeah.
He had to give up the ghost, as the Bible says. So it's when we find Jesus, but you must believe that he is God.
Yeah.
You must believe that he is the saviour of the world.
Yeah.
And you must go to him. You can. There are a lot of people who love a Jesus of their own making, and the Jesus is out there. But we must find him.
Yeah.
He is alive today. He didn't. He's not still dead. He was resurrected by the power of God.
Alive,
he was seen by. Yes, he is.
So he's in the world now.
He's on the throne of heaven.
Yeah.
He's seated on the throne of heaven.
The world.
He sees you now. Yes. Yeah. Yes, he does. And again.
What's happening in the world? All this. Rubbish.
Well, the Bible talks about the most terrible days in history are just before Jesus returns, and I think we're living in those days.
Yeah.
And we're living in days of...
What's it called in the Bible, at the end of the Bible?
Revelation.
The Revelation.
Yeah. That's right.
We're living in Revelation.
Well, I believe we are. You should go study the book of Revelation, because it's a book about all of those things in Revelation end with the return of Jesus Christ in his glory on the clouds of heaven. And the Lord Jesus will return very soon. The question is, are we ready for him? Or if you were to die today, are you ready for him?
Yeah.
If you die without Jesus Christ, you will go to hell for eternity.
Yeah.
You need to repent of your sins. I have repented of my sins.
Yeah.
I am repentant for my sins. My sin is forgiven.
So you're ready to die?
I'm ready to die. Yes, I am. Yes, I'm ready to die. If I die today, I go straight to be with Jesus.
Yeah.
If I die without Jesus, I go straight to hell. And the offer that comes from God is to anyone who will believe, anyone who will turn, anyone who will seek him. He knows every one of us through and through. But we have to look to the cross.
Yeah.
We have to look to the blood.
Yeah.
We have to look to the sacrifice for sin that Jesus made.
Yeah, what happened?
Yes, we do.
I've got to go.
It's a pleasure to meet you, my friend.
And you.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Go back and read Revelation again and study it. My friend, it's a pleasure to meet you.
My name's Joseph.
I'm David. Simon, nice to meet you. Joseph,
Merry Christmas
to meet you.
God.
Yes, the Lord bless you.
Yeah, God bless you.
Thank you. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for those two men, as well as the previous man who is a Muslim. And I just pray for these two men too, Lord, that they would go back and really think about these things and really study them. I pray, Lord, that by your Spirit's power you would work in them and have mercy upon them. And, oh Lord, that they would find that salvation and the forgiveness of sins and the power of God unto salvation. Have mercy upon Joseph and upon Simon, Lord. And have mercy upon me and help me to continue, I pray. This is amazing. I'm just standing here with my Bible open and people are coming talking to me. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. One of the questions raised today is that, who is Jesus? Is he just a man or is he God? Well, here in Matthew's Gospel chapter 1, and this chapter will probably be read in many churches up and down the land tomorrow, we read this, that Jesus' name would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Jesus is both God and man. Somebody asked me today, how can Jesus be both God and man? Well, the answer is, God did it. It was God's will that Jesus should be both God and man. God the Son came into the world to die in the place of sinners. He came into the world to lay down his life in the place of sinners. If Jesus had not been man, he could not be a sacrifice for sin. If he had not been God, he could not have withstood the temptation and all of the trials that came to him from the devil. And he could not have lived a perfect life. Only because he is both God and man can he be that representative of man, that mediator between God and men. And the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, was a perfect, sinless, spotless, pure sacrifice in the place of sinners, dying on the cross, loving sinners like you and me, laying down his life in the place of sinners like you and me, giving himself for sinners like you and me. Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ, who was resurrected and raised bodily from the dead by the power of Almighty God. Jesus Christ, who is alive today. Jesus Christ, who is on the throne of heaven today. Jesus Christ, seated in that glory that belongs to God alone. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, who laid down his life. The Lord Jesus, who loved sinners and gave himself for sinners. Now, we are all sinners. We are all guilty before God. We are all sinful at the very core, at the very heart of our being. We tell lies because we are sinners. We steal because we are sinners. We reject God because we are sinners. We reject the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We turn our backs on Jesus Christ because we are sinners. If I asked you what the greatest sin was, you might say murder, or you might say adultery. These truly are very great sins. But the greatest sin is unbelief. It's to hear this gospel, is to hear that Jesus Christ is Lord. To hear that Jesus Christ is on the throne of heaven. And to reject him. And to not want him to be your saviour. And to refuse to believe in him. And to go on your way without Jesus Christ. And there are many, Jesus said, who are on the broad road that leads to destruction. Most of us are on that broad road, the motorway to hell, we might call it. And unlike motorways in the United Kingdom today, there are no roadworks. There are no rolling traffic jams. There are no speed restrictions. The highway to hell is there. It's open and you're on it because you don't know salvation, which comes from God. You haven't found Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. But Jesus also told us that there is a narrow way, a narrow path that leads to salvation. And there's a straight gate that leads to that way of salvation. And that we should strive to enter into that gate. How terrible for us when we die, if we die in our sins, if we die without Jesus Christ, if we die without salvation, we die without God, we die without mercy, we die without hope, we die without cleansing, we die without salvation. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. Jesus Christ is the one who died and who loved sinners and who gave himself for sinners. And Jesus Christ alone will take away your sin. If we lie, we need forgiveness. If we swear, we need forgiveness. If we steal, we need forgiveness. Stealing is a horrible sin. Thou shalt not steal, the Bible says. And what a generation of thieves we live in. We steal from our bosses. We steal from our employees. We steal from our parents. We steal from our children. We steal from shops. We steal wherever we can steal because we're a generation of thieves. And somebody says, well, I'm not a thief. I've never stolen anything, but you have. You have stolen that which belongs to God alone, that we are created to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the God who holds your breath in his hands, him you have not honored. The God of all glory, the God who reigns over the heavens and the earth, the God to whom we are accountable, the God before whom we must stand, the God to whom we must answer. Now, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, and he is the answer to sin. He is the Saviour of the world. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, and he was born to go to that cross to die. It was appointed that the Lord Jesus Christ would come into the world. God the Father sending God the Son to be born of a virgin, to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David, to fulfill that Old Testament prophecy. And the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life in the place of sinners. Oh, my friends, why should we have glad tidings of great joy at Christmas? Is it because of Christmas pudding? Is it because we pull crackers at the lunch table? No, my friends, the reason that we should be very joyful is that Jesus Christ, who came into the world, that baby born at Bethlehem, that baby, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Saviour of the world. And that baby is the one who can take away your sin and has taken away my sin because I have believed on him. My sin is forgiven. I have peace with God. I have a hope of heaven. I have everlasting life because Jesus died in my place. Because the Lord Jesus laid down his life in my place. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary and died in my place. And I have life just as he has life. Jesus died on the cross, but death could not hold him. He was resurrected by the power of Almighty God. He is not dead, he is risen. The tomb was empty. And Jesus Christ is alive today, on the throne of heaven today. That baby in Bethlehem, that baby that was born 2,000 years ago, is a cause of exceedingly great joy, exceedingly great thankfulness to Almighty God. The angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men." Why should they sing that? Why should they sing glory to God? Because the glory of God has been revealed and manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, a baby was born in a stable and laid in a manger. But my dear friends, all the glory of God and the wisdom of God was seen in the birth of that baby. For God so loved the world, the Bible tells us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. Jesus Christ is the only one that can give us peace with God. The great need of our lives, the truly great need of our lives, the only great need of our lives is peace with God. It's not clothing or food or a job or money or a place of shelter even. It's peace with God. There is nothing in this world as valuable, as important, or as costly as peace with God. But the good news is that Jesus Christ paid the price to buy us that peace. And we have peace with God through Jesus Christ if we believe on the Lord Jesus. If we repent of our sin and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. If you found him, if you know him, if you sought him, if you received him, if you believe on him, if you know who he is, do you know who Jesus Christ is even? See those lads telling me they're Christians and then swearing at me because I preach to them. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Why goodwill towards men? Well, you see, you might think that it was entirely incidental that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but it was the will of God that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. That the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became flesh and dwelt among us, whose name is Jesus, which means that he is the Saviour of the world, whose name is Emmanuel, which means that he is God with us, because Jesus Christ is God and man. Why goodwill towards men? Because God was under no obligation to send his Son. And the eternal God was under no obligation to send a Saviour. And God is under no obligation to save you or me or anyone from our sins. And yet in Jesus Christ, God sent his Son and he gave his Son. God the Father sending God the Son into the world, and Jesus Christ being God the Son and willingly, freely laying down his life in the place of sinners. Goodwill towards men, goodwill towards sinful man, goodwill towards rebellious man, goodwill towards hateful man, goodwill towards evil man, goodwill towards unbelieving man. You see, God wasn't under any obligation to save any of us. We live in days when we say that if there is a God, people say, well, he should save me. I am a good person. But the Bible says there is none righteous.
Amen.
No, amen. No, not one. Thank you. No, not one. There is none that seeketh after good. There is none good. There is no one who is worthy or righteous or deserving of the mercy of Almighty God. We are all together become corrupt. We are all together unprofitable. God is under no obligation to save you, my friend. He is under no obligation to deliver you from hell. When God casts sinners into hell, his justice is revealed. He is glorified. His justice, his glory, his holiness, his majesty is upheld. The miracle, the amazing thing, the goodwill towards men is found in Jesus Christ, in that it was not the good that Jesus died for, or the worthy or the deserving, but the ungodly and sinners whom Jesus died for. The sinners like you and me, you have told a lie and God sees it and God says you are a liar. And you say, no, I'm not, and you add to your sins. You swear and God sees your swearing and it is an abomination to him. How can he who dwells in unapproachable light, how can the God who cannot sin, how can he allow swearers into his heaven? Swearing is a horrible sin. God is righteous, God is just, God is pure, God is holy, and he will not allow sinners into his heaven. That is why Jesus Christ was born. For the foul-mouthed mothers, and for foul-mouthed fathers, and for foul-mouthed children, the Lord Jesus was born to save us from our sin, but we must repent. We must repent of our sin. We must repent towards God. We must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is only by the shedding of blood, only by sacrifice, only by the blood of Jesus Christ that our sins can be forgiven. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, your sins... If you don't know Jesus Christ, then your sin remains upon you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, then the wrath of God is determined towards you. We need Jesus Christ. He is not dead, he is risen, he is alive today. He is near at hand to those who call on his name. But what about you, my friend? Do you know Jesus Christ? Because if you don't, you will go to hell. No question about that. Jesus preached on hell more than anyone. And he preached on hell to warn us of the wrath to come, to warn us of the judgment to come, to warn us that there is a day coming when God will judge every one of us. Jesus Christ will be on the throne of judgment. That baby born in Bethlehem, who died on the cross, who was raised from the dead, who is seated on the throne of heaven today, that baby will be your judge to everlasting torment in hellfire if you do not repent, and if you will not believe, and if you will not turn from your sin. And Jesus Christ will save you from your sin if you turn, if you repent, if you believe. You have an undying soul, my friend, and you need a Saviour. And that Saviour is Jesus Christ. And he is the Saviour of all those who put their trust in him. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, and the glory is that that baby was not only a man, but he is also God. Jesus was born a man. Jesus is a man. You see, you can't change sex. There's nothing in the Bible, nothing whatsoever in the Bible about transgenderism. If you are a woman, God has made you a woman. If you are a man, God has made you a man. That cannot change. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are made in the image of God for his glory, but we have not honored him. We have not served him. We have not sought him. We have not believed on him. So we must turn to Jesus Christ. You cannot change sex, that is impossible. What has taken place this week in the Scottish Assembly is folly. It's madness. It's madness. It's the height of madness because you cannot change sex. You cannot change sex. You deceive yourself if you think you can change sex, my friend. You deceive yourself. We cannot change sex. God has made us male and female in his image. And Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Born a man, God man, the God man. And he went to the cross and he died on the cross of Calvary in the place of sinners. His body was broken, his blood was shed. He became the sacrifice for sin. And we, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that salvation and that everlasting life. Can I give you a card, please? There we go. Don't worship me, worship the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no good doing that. Yeah, but that's not going to save you. It's finding him, it's knowing him in your heart. If we know Jesus Christ in our hearts, we have the salvation.
I'm no respect.
Well, I believe in the Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
I believe in the Holy Trinity. You want a card? That's yes. That's my friend, thank you for listening. That's good. Thank you very much. The Lord bless you. Thank you. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. That man said he's a Muslim. Now Islam believes in God, but they don't believe in the Holy Trinity. And the Holy Trinity is taught in the Bible. Jesus is not just a prophet. He's not just a messenger. Jesus is the Son of God. They crucified him for saying he was the Son of God, making himself equal with God. But Jesus is God. Today Jesus is on the throne of heaven with God the Father. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And you cannot be seated on the throne of heaven if you are not God. God will not share his glory with another. But Jesus is equal with the Father, equal with the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaching us that there is one God and that there are three persons within the Godhead. We can't rationalize that. We can't understand it. We can't explain it. But we must believe it in order to be saved. And it is the clear teaching of the Bible. It is the clear teaching of Scripture. So can I give you a card? Thank you very much. Thank you for that. Just giving you a card for listening there. We can believe it, and we must believe it, that Jesus Christ is God, and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. Listen to this. But while that's Joseph thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus Christ is God. That baby born in Bethlehem is God. Of course, he's not a baby anymore. Today, Jesus Christ is on the throne of heaven. If you go to a church and they say, come and worship the Christ child with us, don't go with them. Jesus is not a baby. Some of these churches have cribs and they have dolls in them, and people fall down and worship the dolls. This is idolatry. We must worship God. We must worship him through Jesus Christ. We must worship Jesus Christ because he is God. But we must worship him where he is today. And today Jesus Christ is in heaven, on the throne of heaven, reigning in heaven. Can I give you a card, sir? Thank you. Thank you very much. The Lord bless you,
God
sir.
Willing.
Thank you. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Thank you for listening, sir. Yeah.
Brother.
Oh, you're a Christian. God bless you. God bless you at this time. Yes, thank you for standing and thank you for listening. Yes, yes. And may I ask where you're from?
Romania,
yes. Well, the Lord bless you. And it's wonderful to meet somebody from Romania who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Amen. Look at all these people who need to know the Lord Jesus. I'm going to pray. Father, I pray for the preaching today, and I pray, Father, that the word of God would go deep into the hearts of those who've heard. I pray that your Holy Spirit would bring conviction of sin, and I pray, Father, that people would be truly awakened and find Jesus Christ to be their Saviour. I pray you bless my brother from Romania here and encourage him, Lord, and other Christians from Romania and other countries as well, Lord. But our prayer and our plea, Lord, is that you would arise and have mercy and glorify your Son. Surely he is glorified in the preaching of his word. Surely also, Lord, Jesus is glorified when people's hearts are turned to him for salvation. So, Father, have mercy and pour out your Spirit upon Hull and have have mercy upon those all around. Bless the cards that have been given out, Lord, and have mercy upon the people here. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 God bless you, my friend. I'm David.
You're Florin.
Florin. Hello. Oh, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. Hi. Hello, sir. Could I give you a card?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you. The Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Right. Oh, we just have... As I say, there's a lady in Toronto who has a prayer meeting, and her prayer meeting, pray for this, but she said that it's like this, that we keep preaching, we keep working, and just sowing seed, sowing seed, sowing seed, but the day will come when God will come, and he will bring it all together, and it will all bring its fruit, and that's what we live for, that's what we long for, that's what we hope for, that's what we believe, that God is glorified in the preaching of his word, but he's also glorified in the salvation of souls, when people actually find Jesus Christ. So the Lord have mercy on Hull, and the Lord bless each of those listening to this online, and encourage you, and be with you at this time. Thank you for those who are praying. It's again, God gave the increase, and the Lord must be working, because I'm just standing there with the Bible and people are coming up and talking to me. Praise God for that. But Lord, apply the word, apply the word, apply the word to people's hearts. Remember the weakness of the preacher, the weakness shown in my inability to answer a basic question. And Lord, that just shows that I'm sowing in weakness. But your strength, Lord, is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, in the weakness that I have come in, Lord, and the pathetic way in which I do things, and the foolishness of preaching, how can I compete with the Magnificent Seven and the Great Escape and the Avengers, Lord? How can I compete with them when people are rushing home to watch their televisions? But Lord, you know that you've chosen the foolishness of preaching, and obedience to your word, obedience to your command is what you require of us. So have strong confidence in the word, and have strong confidence in the preaching, Father, that you will accomplish that which you have purposed for it. But oh Lord, remember these people like sheep without a shepherd. Remember them blinded, fooled, betrayed, Lord, taught in the schools and by governments and rulers and councils, Lord, that Christmas is nothing, that Jesus coming into the world is nothing because they hate the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, I pray that there might be some found here who are your elect and who are appointed from before the foundation of the world to believe, Lord, and who would go on their way rejoicing, Lord, rejoicing in Jesus Christ, because he is the Saviour of the world. Father, have mercy, have mercy. In Jesus' name, Amen.